If you'll hear this morning, I do. Let's get into the Word of the Lord, and this is going to seem a little different with what we feel here this morning, but nevertheless, it's what I feel in my heart to talk about to you here this morning. I'm going to talk to you about repentance in the pandemic, and I want to kind of share some things with you that I've been doing a lot of reading here recently, trying to get a better grasp on the day that we're living in, the challenges that are ahead of us, what we're facing. And I have a lot of questions. Anybody else got questions right now in their life? You know, if I was to start off with just practical questions, I don't know what to believe sometimes, to be honest with you. You know, I'll hear of somebody getting the coronavirus and they said, oh, it was like the common cold. Somebody else will get the coronavirus and they're in ICU. Right? One doctor say, put your mask on. The other one say, take it off. Right? You ever hear all these different conflicting theories and thoughts? Be honest with you, I don't know what to believe. I'm just trying my best to work through this mess. But there's one thing I do know, that God is faithful. And we have direction in the Word of God. And that's what we need to trust to, be mindful of one another. And again, I can't decipher everything that's true and false. I know one thing, we'll do our best to do what we can in these last days. Amen. I want you to go there to Luke 13. I've read from these verses and kind of preached from them from here before some years past. But today I want to talk to you about repentance and the pandemic. And what is God saying to us? What is God speaking to us? And I want to know what He's saying. I believe He is saying some things. And next time Mama's here, we need to get her to sing. I didn't want to put her on the spot. She wouldn't appreciate that too much. But my mom's a wonderful singer, and we'd love to hear her. And if she'll stay tonight, we'll let her sing. I don't know, she might have to work. She says she's got to go to work. Okay. But let's get there in Luke chapter 13. Let's look there. It says, there were present at that season, or some translations would say on the same occasion. And what that's talking about in chapter 12, he was doing some things, saying some things. But in that same occasion, some came to him that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Notice there's a second situation here Christ is going to bring up. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Here in this portion of Scripture, Jesus had been teaching the crowds there in Luke chapter 12. He was telling them about His second coming. He was letting them know about judgment and the day of sudden judgment. And in verse 13, while He is there on the same occasion, people come to Him. And they're traveling and most likely coming to hear Him. Different ones are following Him. But they bring Him news and begin to ask Him about a situation, this tragedy. And they talk about a group of Galileans who were in the same region of Israel, really where Jesus came from, that Jesus had mingled their blood with the blood of their sacrifices. Now think about this. These Galileans were worshiping, which is a noble thing. They were taking their sacrifices. They were a part of this worship. And while this took place, this group of Roman soldiers at the command of Pilate come in and slaughtered them, and their blood was mingled with their sacrifices. Now, you could imagine that some in the crowd, when hearing this, would have been so, felt so scandalized, so taken back by such a situation that it's hard for us to imagine. Now, I did a little reading about this, and one commentator really draws a great parallel here. He talks about if we were to put that in the modern day situation of our church setting, it would be equivalent to this, that we were in a communion service and a group of terrorists come in and slaughtered us, and our blood was mingled with the Welch's grape juice whereby we were drinking in our form of worship and remembrance of Christ. Now you hear that and you would think, my, what a horrible situation. We feel scandalized by that. We feel invaded upon that. That could ever happen in a church or in a region that somebody's worshiping their God, much less the true and living, the true and one and only living God. And murder would come and our blood would be mingled with the very thing we're remembering our God by. But then Christ would bring up another situation. He would tell them, he said, what about that tower that fell? There's a second tragedy that he's going to mention here. What about that tower that fell there near the town of Siloam and 18 had died? Now, we don't know much about this and history don't tell us much about this, but obviously there's this construction project and most likely there was this collapse or maybe the building just was not built well and there was this crazy accident whereby this tower fell and it killed 18 people, either workers or innocent bystanders. We don't know if they're women or men or children, but we know that it's some strange accident. So hear me this morning. There's two tragedies. One where we see the wickedness of Pilate, this evil ruler murdered, it seems to be, these innocent worshipers. And secondly, Christ would bring up a situation of a tower falling down, some sort of crazy accident, and people are coming to him for an explanation. They want to know why this happened and what did these people do to deserve that. Now, we look around in our own society, and we are often perplexed by the problem of evil, right? Has anybody else scratched their head at times? Has anybody else during what is called this pandemic wonder why things happen and why it affects certain people differently and why it may happen to this person or happen to that person? And once again, it's hard to get all the information. We just know we're living in confusing times. We know apart from this pandemic, we know of tragedies and car accidents and cancer and sickness and rape and brutality and problems. Other nations, people are facing things that we can't even imagine here in modern day America, and we have to ask the questions, we seek explanation, we go to God. These people come to God and they're wondering in their minds, they're wondering in their hearts, and they're thinking to themselves, why did these things happen? Now notice what Christ does. His response is unique. He says, do you suppose that those Galileans who were murdered were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? Or do you suppose that the 18 where the Tower of Siloam fell on them and killed them, were they worse culprits than all the rest that live there in that region of that area? Are they just worse sinners? Is that what happened to them? You understand, and you really got to understand how they thought in the first century. And I'll read to you a quote from one commentator. He said, if bad things, the way these people thought was this, it's not too far from the way we think at times in America. If bad things happen to these people, they must have been bad people or done bad things. Maybe they were greater sinners than the rest of them. So God smote them with some sort of judgment. And while they might not put it, while to nowadays we might not quite put it like that, it's not too far from the way certain people think. There are some people wonder when something happens. Maybe somebody did this. Maybe they deserved it. Whatever it is, we have questions and we often want explanations, but we've got to understand that when they came to Jesus Christ, there was a sermon right in the middle of this. He's not going to sit there and try to tell them and work through all these different issues of why this happened. Listen to what he says. I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. They want an explanation, right? Why were they murdered? Why did this tower fall on them? What happened, Jesus? And he says, unless you likewise repent, you likewise may perish. Now, the idea of this perishing here is not eternal perishing. It's the idea of dying physically. And I want to show you something about this, of what this means and what we need to understand, because the crowds came to Jesus and they thought Jesus was going to discuss the sins of the dead, but Jesus seizes the occasion and seizes this tragedy. And he talks about the sins of the living. They thought they were going to come to Jesus and he was going to talk about the sins of those that died. He points at them. Your explanation is this. You need to repent. You need to make sure you're ready to go. You need to make sure your heart is right. Brothers and sisters, if there's anything in this pandemic that is being echoed through us and should be echoed through the churches and to the lost, is this: life is fragile. We're going to talk about that. They're right in the middle of this uncertain world. There's a lot of things we may never understand on the side of heaven. We may never ever be able to reason suffering at times and why this happens to this person and this happens to that person. But there's one thing I can be sure of. I can be sure that my heart is ready to go, and I'm ready to know, I'm ready to go be with Him, and that I know Him. We need to make sure our hearts are right. We don't understand it all, but I understand this. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my Lord. Do you know that here this morning? As a matter of fact, this text that I read to you was a very popular text right after the World Trade Towers had collapsed after that terrorist attack. And they called the nation to repentance. They called people to repentance because they realized this, that we are alive. We cannot help those that have left this world. We cannot change those situations, but there's some things we can change. I believe there's four things God is saying to us, and many more, I'm sure, about when we see people in this world going through what they are going through. What is God saying to us in this time? Number one, I would say this. And hear me, I'm not here to discourage you this morning, but you need to awaken up to this, and we all need to understand this more often. Number one, death is certain. Death is certain. You know, when it comes to the subject of death, it's one of those things that even though we know it's coming in our lives, and even though we don't know when that day is going to be, we don't like thinking or pondering about it too much, do we? Let's just be honest. I don't like laying there. When I lay there and think about it, I'll get sad. And my wife, I'll go, I said, look, honey, I'll tell her something. If something happens to me, she said, don't talk that way, Derek. I said, I just want to have it all in order when I leave here. You know, the other day when I went and seen Aunt Louise, and she's laying there on that bed, potentially her deathbed, got a lot of good memories of that lady. Years ago, all those memories at Christmases and her and my grandmother are wonderful cooks, and we've laughed and we've joked and been to different places and just had a wonderful time. Family reunions. When I'm at the family reunions, I'm not thinking about death at that moment. We're not that morbid where we're always thinking about it. But hear me, brothers and sisters, when there's a pandemic, when there's a problem, when there's a tragedy, when there's something that takes place, we need to remind ourselves that death is certain. It's going to happen. The crowds came to Jesus for an explanation of these tragedies. But again, rather than speak about the dead, He turns to address the living and says, make sure that you have repented, because death is certain. Now, many of us have had the privilege of being parents. And many of you like me, have known the joy of seeing a child born into this world. And if not, I hope you do have that joy one day, if God allows. You know, we asked, months before, that happy anticipation, is it a boy or is it a girl? And we'll say things like this: will he or she have your smile? And then the day arrives, and after hours of labor and turmoil, and then the birth, you hear the first cry, and they see, then you breathe that breath of relief, and the doctor's taken, they do all the different stuff, and then you ask questions as you look at that baby. What is this baby going to be like? What will his voice be like? How tall will he be? Would he like this like me, or this like his mother? What kind of hobbies? What would his voice sound like? And each different phase of life, you're looking at that child and you have these questions, and life is full of uncertainties. But there's one thing that's certain for every child that is born, unless they go by way of the rapture. That child one day, like all of us, will leave this world, and death is certain. Now, again, I can't say we like to talk about that or think about that. And our society does everything that it can do to possibly rid that reality from our minds. Some people pile up endless distractions in their lives to divert their attention from the reality that one day you are going to leave this world. It's going to happen to all of us. Again, I know this ain't the happiest sermon you've ever heard, but hear me. You're leaving this world. What's the condition of your heart? And what is the relationship with Christ? Now, indulge me. I'm not an illustrative man very much, but will you participate a little bit? Can everybody put up their right hands? You're not going to do anything crazy. Put it across your chest there. Anybody know how to find their pulse? They're in their neck. Think about that. Friend, there's coming a day in the great scheme of things that heartbeat that you feel will stop beating. There'll come a day that a nurse potentially will come beside your bedside, press their fingers to your neck, and say something like this: "He's gone. She's gone. Death certain." Now, I know that's heavy. It's hard to think as you feel your heartbeat, feel your pulse, that one day that will no longer be there. But hear me, be reminded, it is coming. Secondly, first, and I'll get a little more encouraging at the end, don't worry. First, death is certain. Secondly, life is uncertain, right? Lord, how many of us in March had plans for the summer? Oh, man. Some of you were filling out your bracket for March Madness. I don't know if you were or not. Some of you had a family vacation that was going to take place in June or July, whatever it is. My family's got one scheduled in August, and my mom said, if they cancel that vacation, we're going to go sit on the porch of that cabin. Because my sister and mom wanted to get insurance, so the rest of us like, we don't need it. I ain't going to start an argument here. Let's move forward. But hear me, it's a fact that no doubt these Galilean worshipers whose blood was mixed with their sacrifices most likely had plans for tomorrow, right? Most likely for those that the tower fell on, they would have said, look, I'm going to do this tomorrow, or I'm going here, or I'm going to grow old, and I'm going to be a spouse, or maybe they were young, and I'm going to be a grandparent. They had all these different ambitions. And the Bible tells us all of the time in many different places, like in Proverbs 27 and 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. It tells us in James chapter 4, it says, come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go such and such. We will engage in this business for profit, etc. But he says, your life is like a vapor, just like on a winter morning, you go out and you exhale and you see that little bit of vapor, it's gone just like that. So is the condition of humanity. You're here today and gone tomorrow. You want a good book to read about it? Read the book of Ecclesiastes. See, we have this illusion of control, that we can get it done or we can do this. But I even believe in this pandemic that at times God wants to strip us from the illusion of control. Now, listen, one writer put it this way, and I loved it from this little excerpt that I read. He said, do you think you're in control of your life, let alone all these different things? He said, friend, be reasonable. Open your eyes. Has not this crisis torn off the mask or the foolish notion that you're in control of your life? You can't even get toilet paper. And that was written a while back. I'm glad you can get it now. He said, are you serious? You're in control and you can't even get toilet paper. We're in control, ain't we? He said, some can't even get masks and gloves or hand sanitizer, but you're in control. He goes on to say, you can take precautions, but you can't control whether you'll contract the coronavirus or not. You may stay in your house 6 months. You might conduct all your business electronically. You might have people do your grocery shopping for you or do your shopping online. You might take every precaution known to man, and you still don't know what can happen. You can contract the virus from the germs on your mail or your groceries by an asymptomatic delivery driver who doesn't even know that he or she has the disease, and you're in control. You don't even know when you get to the hospital if they're going to have that ventilator if you would need it. You're not in control. Now, if you're worried about your mail, don't still check your mail. I didn't mean to do that to scare you. But if you avoided getting coronavirus for 100 years, eventually, if you lived that long, you're still going to leave this world. Doesn't mean we can't be precautious, and we ought to be. Wash your hands. And I've been washing my hands more than ever. Be precautious. I was telling Brother Shane yesterday, I didn't realize how many points of contact there are between other people. I go to a restaurant. Now look, I said, somebody touches that, and somebody touches this, and somebody touches that. I didn't ever realize that before. I never paid attention. We can be precautious, and you ought to be, but you're not in control of it all. We do not and cannot be in control of it all. God wants us to know that. Thirdly, God wants us to understand that judgment is coming. When you leave this world, you're going to stand at some point before Christ, right? Now, I know that's something, again, we like to put in the great eschaton way in the future. That's going to happen way out there. But brothers and sisters, hear me. If you left this world today, there's going to come this point in time. If you're a believer, you're going to meet your makers. We would often say, you're either going to go to the judgment seat of Christ as a believer, or you're going to be at the great white throne judgment as an unbeliever. You've got to understand, you are going to the judgment. Let us be reminded that death is certain. Life is uncertain. But again, we come into another certainty. Judgment is coming. And you will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you went right now, hear me, if you went today, if you left this world and you today, would you be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ with a pure heart and clean hands? If you look at me and say, Brother Derek, I'm not sure if I could, that's an easy fix. I know the man you can talk to and the one who wants you to make it and stand before him blameless. Now, I'm not going to get much into that third point, but if you want more information about it, look at Luke chapter 12, the chapter right before this, and read it in your own time. It talks about that judgment. Lastly, let me get to another main point here. Give me a few minutes here. Not only is death certain, not only is life uncertain, and not only is the judgment to come certain, but brothers and sisters, Christ's main tone and message right here is this: repentance is necessary. Has anybody remember the day you got saved? Did you repent of your sins? Has anybody repented a time or two since then? See, I don't believe, I'm one of those preachers, I believe there's a time that you repent of your sins, no doubt about it. But I believe throughout the rest of your life, doesn't mean you have to live in consistent and persistent failure. Doesn't mean you have to live underneath the tyranny of sin. You ought not. But I'll tell you this right now, there's times you find your way to an altar and you say, Lord, forgive me. And help me. If it be, look, say, I hadn't done nothing majorly evil, Brother Derek. And, you know, I hadn't cheated on my wife, or I hadn't done drugs, or I hadn't been consuming alcohol. I'm not a drunkard, and I hadn't stole, and I hadn't lied. What about the things that we should do that we don't do? Things that we should do that we don't. There's many of those things. We notice here as Christ is talking to them, he says it in verse 3 and verse 5, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 5 says the same exact thing. He's letting us know that if you want to escape from perishing underneath God's divine judgment, what you've got to do is you've got to repent. You cannot help those that have left this world. You cannot be consumed with those that have left this world. You're living, and the question is this: have you repented? Now, you know what the word repentance means. It simply means a turn or turning. It's two sides of this. Number one, when you repent, you return from your sins. Last Sunday morning, I preached on being born again. This Sunday morning, I'll say it again. You must be born again. Turn away from your sins. But not only are you turning away from something, you're turning to something. What are you turning to? You turn away from your sin. You turn to Christ. And in that repentance of turning to Christ and embracing Christ and embracing His work, you embrace Him as your Lord and Savior, as the only Son of God, the beloved Son of God. He's your Savior. He died for you. Have you repented? Are you embracing Him? You've got to turn from your sins. You've got to turn from your own efforts. You've got to turn from your own works. And you've got to turn to Him, to the all-sufficient, all-powerful Son of God. He's letting them know, look, you're worried about those who already died. I know it's sad. You're worried about those who that tower has fallen on. But have you repented? Have you embraced me as your Lord and Savior? So yesterday, or not, excuse me, not yesterday, the other day when I dropped the kids off, I left my Aunt Louise's, where she was staying at. Aunt Louise, we call her Aunt Wheezy. Aunt Wheezy. Look down there. And I noticed there's a minister friend of mine, and this minister friend of mine, you know what he does for a living? He cuts death dates on gravestones. I said, there's Brother Timmy. And I drove down there to see Brother Timmy in the Happy Home Graveyard. And I was over there and we look and I said, you know what? And Happy Home Graveyard, it's Happy Home Church, that's what it's called. That I know it's a little strange for a graveyard, isn't it? But as I was over there, I said, well, I'll take a moment now that I'm here. Won't plan on visiting the graveyard today. And I said, there's my Uncle David. He just died in December. And I look over there, it's my grandparents. And I look back and I see other names that I realize of people that at one point in time, I was around them at some point in time in my life or knew them or had an influence on my life. And it hit me. Again, now I don't think about this stuff all the time. Now this is crazy. I'm just walking you through Derek Jones's mind. Don't get lost in here. It's a crazy place up here. I'm saying, where am I going to be buried? You know, my grandmother's gravestone's over there. She's not, you know, she's already purchased it. I ain't ready to buy one of those yet. I'm not there. I'm not that stage of life. I heard it's wise to do so, of course. I don't want to leave too much burden on your family. But at 32, I thought to myself, how much does one even cost? But the reality is this. There'll come a point in time. I've got to have a conversation with my wife. And she'll have a conversation with me. Where do you want to be buried? I don't know, but I do know this. When I do die, when I leave this world, I want to make sure my heart is right with Him. And I want to do everything I can. Let's be reminded in this pandemic, in this time of uncertainty, that death is certain. Once again, that heartbeat, that pulse, come a point in time, it'll be no more. Make sure you live today. And that your relationship with God today is just like you want it to be when you go into eternity, because it is certain. Are you encouraged? Are you challenged? Are you challenged? Let's be challenged this morning. I know this isn't a lengthy sermon, and I didn't intend for it to be too long. But as these men, as these different ones came to Jesus, what about those who died by the hands of Pilate? What about those that the tower fell on? Christ instantly. I love Jesus. Sometimes these conversations, He just jumps right to the point, doesn't He? I know how I would be. I'm like, well, you know, who built the tower and all this different stuff? I know how I think as a man. Pilate did that. That sorry rascal. Christ says, no. Unless you likewise, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Stand to your feet if you would. Brothers, sisters, this morning, my desire in preaching this is simply this. What is God saying to us through this uncertain time? This time of danger, this time that we are so uncertain. And again, I'm just going to be honest. I don't know what to believe all the time about all everything here and there. We just do what we can. We try to be honorable. We do the best that we can. But I know some things are certain. Death is certain. I know some things are uncertain. Life is. Boy, 2020 has, what a start to a new decade. Good Lord willing, I'll have a child born in 2020. Never forget that one. Unique times. Life's uncertain. Judgment is coming. And unless you repent, you will likewise perish. What's the condition of your life? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I've shared this that's on my heart, God, and I trust that it's received well. Death is certain. In this room this morning, unless we go by way of that rapture, every man and woman underneath the sound of my voice, there'll come a point in time, their heartbeat will cease. But God, this is not the cessation of existence. We will go into a place, a time, either of eternal bliss or eternal damnation. God, I don't know the heart of every man and woman in this room. God, I look at my own heart. And God, I want to make sure everything in my heart between me and you, God, and between my brothers and sisters is right. I want to be sure. I ask you, God, that you'll keep me in the coming days. And Lord, I know there'll come a point in time that I'll have to leave this world. I don't know what that age will be, God, but help me. God, let every heart in this room be settled before you. God, help us to serve you. Help us to be faithful. Help us to continue to carry our crosses. Life is uncertain, God. Life is so uncertain. We don't even know, God, about tomorrow, what will happen in the coming weeks, months, or years. But I know this, you're faithful. And you're going to take care of us in this church. You're faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. We've prayed. Now, can you just lift your hands towards heaven and tell God thank you that He's in control? That though life is uncertain, and there'll come a point in time that I'll leave this world, He's able to keep us. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord Jesus. Take care of this church, God. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. Right in the middle of a pandemic, Holy Ghost, I search my heart. I search my heart, oh God. I search my heart. Oh God, help us as a church, Lord. Help us as a church, Lord, in this times. I know we're limited in what we can do, God. We're not able to do as we normally would do, God, because of all that's going on. God, you know the truth. You see us, God, you care. And we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We're thinking about eternity. We know, Holy Ghost, we know you're faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for his goodness, church. Isn't he faithful? Amen. I hope you've been challenged today. God speaking to us in this time, I encourage you, as I've often said it before I dismiss you, spend time in personal prayer. Stay in the word of the Lord. God is faithful. I know we can't gather around the altars and normally do, but you have a wonderful day. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you. And do our best to maintain social distancing to the best of our ability. God bless you.